From Ascension Lutheran Church in Citrus Heights, California, this is the sermon for Sunday, March 27th, 2022, the fourth Sunday in Lent. The preacher is Pastor Scott Jones.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the gospel according to John, the 18th chapter, and we'll begin with the 28th verse. The holy gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so as to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." The Jews replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death that he was to die. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again and summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" After he said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case with him. But you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" They shouted in reply, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a bandit. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. While we lived in Connecticut, we did our best to take advantage of our proximity to New York City and especially to Broadway. We lived about 90 miles in our small town just south of Hartford from Times Square. So we tried to get into the city as often as we had the time and our money would allow. As a result, we have seen many plays and musicals both on Broadway and off Broadway, and some of them we have seen multiple times. The musical Wicked is one of those musicals that we have seen multiple times. I've seen it twice. Robin, I think three times. Maybe more than that. Our daughter, four or five times, and we are going to see it again this next Saturday, this Saturday, this coming Saturday, the Saturday that's coming up, however you say that. I know I always... Anyway, we're going to see it Saturday, April 2nd. We're going to see it. That's maybe easier. At the Safe Credit Union Performing Arts Center. They changed the name. It's so much easier to say than the Community Center Theater. And I know that some of you will be seeing it there as well. Now, the thing about seeing a show or hearing a story that you have seen or heard before is that sometimes the details that are so obvious, you don't notice anymore. But other times, by seeing it from a new or different perspective, something new or different sticks out to you. For example, we've seen some musicals at the Music Circus, and because that's done in the round, your perspective on how they're doing, acting out the musical can and does change. So this familiar story we read about Jesus and his trial before Pilate. First off, I imagine them, this is a play. And we've got, and I think it's sort of funny, we've got Pilate, who's like the highest ranking political person in the region, who in our scene today is running back and forth. He's outside, then he runs inside, and then he's outside. As if he's the gopher between Jesus and the Jewish leaders, which essentially he is. And I imagine that if they did that at the music circus, that the turntable would be going around and Pilate would just be running. Just running. Unfortunately, this is not a comedic scene for Jesus or for us as we typically read it on Good Friday. But I do find it a bit amusing. We typically read this scene, which is sandwiched between Jesus' trial before Annas and Caiaphas, the high priest, which we read last Sunday, and the next scene, which we'll read next Sunday. Yeah, that's next Sunday, because this is this Sunday. Then we'll read next Sunday, where Jesus is flogged and a crown of thorns is put upon his head, a purple robe around his shoulders, before the crowds shout out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" But today, the crowd is shouting something different. They are shouting, not this man, but Barabbas. But that doesn't happen until the end of our reading, so let's not get ahead of ourselves. At the beginning of our reading, Jesus is taken from Caiaphas to Pilate, from his religious trial to his civic trial. And when Pilate, the governor, asked Jesus what charges there are against him, what are they accusing him of? When he asked the Jews, Pilate asked the Jews that, they said, well, if he wasn't guilty of something, we wouldn't have brought him to us, to you. So don't worry about it. He's guilty. But they never tell him what charges there are that they are bringing against Jesus. They want Pilate to figure it out. Now, Pilate's a politician. So he's going to try and figure out a way to be a part of this without actually getting any dirt on his hands. So he says, why don't I give him back to you and you take care of him according to your law? You're the ones who got a beef with this guy, and I'll just be here and I'll back you up. If you need anything, let me know. The reality is that the Jews had already tried Jesus, but their law didn't allow them to sentence Jesus to death. And death is what needs to happen at this point in the story. Jesus needs to die, and they want him to die. We've read Caiaphas himself has said in John chapter 11 that if you one death can be good for all of the people, not knowing really what he was talking about, but thinking of eliminating the leader of a movement, and then the movement stops. And Jesus himself has said that he must die, and he must be lifted up in that death, as a crucifixion is a lifting up of a person in death. Well, because Pilate didn't receive any satisfactory responses when he was outside, then he goes inside to talk to Jesus. And so he asks him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus asks him a question. Oh, Jesus, never answering a question, always asking questions. And he says, well, are you asking this because you want to know the answer? Are you asking this because they told you? If you're asking for yourself, then the question is, am I a king? Am I an earthly king? And for Jesus, the answer would be no. But if he's asking for the Jews, then the question becomes, are you a spiritual king? And the answer is yes. So Pilate responds that he's not Jewish. So Jesus, responds in his way. Pilate said, well, I'm not Jewish. I don't even know what you're talking about, right? King of the Jews, how would I know if you're king of the Jews? I'm not even Jewish. And Jesus never says that he's a king, at least not directly. But he goes on to talk about his kingdom. And who has a kingdom if they're not a king, right? Seems like you would need those with kingdoms are kings. So essentially, he admits to being a king, but just not here. Because if he was a king here, his followers would be there trying to fight to get him out. So his kingdom is not here. And this is where Jesus now, once again in John's gospel, starts talking on two different planes. You remember when he had the conversation with Nicodemus, and you must be born from above or born again, and Nicodemus doesn't understand because Jesus is saying these things that sort of work on two different planes. It happens at the at the well, when the woman at the well, well, the woman comes to him at the well, and, you know, he offers to, says, you know, if you drink of the water I offer you, you'll never be thirsty again. It's like, sir, you haven't even taken any water out of the well, but clearly Jesus isn't talking about well water. He's talking about the very water that comes from him, the very water of life. So here Jesus again is talking, speaking on two different levels, and Pilate doesn't get it. He doesn't understand, so he says, so you are a king. Is that what you're getting at? And Jesus responds about his coming into the world to testify to the truth. Now, we've read through and preached through a lot of John's gospel, and one of the things we've talked about is John's farewell discourse. And in the midst of John's farewell discourse, Jesus told the disciples that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. So when Jesus says he came to testify to the truth, we know that Jesus is also the truth. He came to testify to it because he is the truth. But Pilate doesn't understand. He just goes, well, what is truth? And out he goes back into the courtyard to have a conversation with the Jewish authorities because things didn't go so well inside. There he told the crowd of Jews that he could find no case against Jesus. And because he didn't want to be the one to let them go, but he also didn't want to be the one to condemn an innocent man to death, he asked the crowd if they would like him to release Jesus. Now here it gets a little interesting. Convenient, I'll say. There was apparently a custom where on the Jewish celebration of Passover, the Roman authorities would release a prisoner who may or may not have been Jewish if the Jews wanted that person released. No separation of church and state there. It doesn't make sense. Why would you ask the Jews who they want released? Do we know if Barabbas is Jewish? We have no idea if Barabbas is Jewish. He's probably not Jewish. So why are you going to ask the Jews if they want somebody released that has nothing to do with the feast? Nonetheless, something that maybe you've never questioned before. I hadn't thought a lot about it. But that's not the detail I want to draw your attention to. That's just a side note. That's a freebie. So Pilate asks them, would you like me to release the king of the Jews? He doesn't use Jesus' name. He uses this title that's being used of Jesus here. Would you like me to release the king of the Jews or this other man? And they say, the other man, Barabbas. And that's what they shout here, this detail. They shout Barabbas' name. I've paid more attention to them shouting, crucify him on Good Friday than the crowd shouting, Barabbas. Sure, I knew that Pilate had offered to let Jesus or Barabbas go, but I've always focused instead on the crowd later yelling, crucify him, crucify him. Now, what do we know about Barabbas? We know that he was an insurrectionist, a charge that perhaps actually could have been made against Jesus. Maybe, not a lot of evidence that he was suggesting, you know, insurrection against Rome, but certainly causing trouble within the church. And he is described as a bandit. A bandit. That's not the team he plays for. That is a description of who he is and what he has done. He's a bandit. The word or term that is translated as bandit here is also used earlier in John's gospel during the Good Shepherd discourse. The Good Shepherd discourse, when Jesus says, he is the gate. One of his I am statements. There were seven. We went through them last week. In chapter 10, he describes himself as a gate, and anyone who does not enter the sheepfold through the gate is a thief and a bandit. But the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd, and the sheep recognize the shepherd's voice. He will lead them out, and they will follow him because they recognize his voice. Jesus goes on to call himself the Good Shepherd, one of those seven I am statements, and then says the Good Shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. But those who have come before me, Jesus says, are bandits and thieves. As a Good Shepherd, Jesus came to protect the sheep from the bandits and thieves, from people like Barabbas. Jesus came to protect the sheep from people like Barabbas, but ultimately in our reading, Jesus will even protect a bandit like Barabbas when the crowd shouts his name and Jesus is crucified instead of him. When we hear the Good Shepherd discourse, we assume, and hopefully correctly so, that we are the sheep that Jesus came to protect. Those who he calls by name, whose voice we recognize. But then we get here to the crucifixion. And we hear the crowd shouting the name of that bandit Barabbas in order that Jesus might be led to the cross instead of him. It was supposed to be Barabbas. And if we stop and pay attention, and we notice a detail that has been there all along, but perhaps we have missed, we'll begin to see that we are also the bandit. We are also the bandit, the thieves, the ones who are trying to get what is not rightfully ours, the ones who deserve to be led to the cross. And yet our names are being shouted out so that it is Jesus who goes, and not you, and not me. You see, or hear rather, when the crowd shouts Barabbas, he's shouting your name, they're shouting your name as well. In order that Jesus, who knew no sin, might go to the cross to bear the consequences of Barabbas' sins, of my sins, of your sins. It just as easily could have been one of us, and maybe it should have been one of us, who was on trial for our transgressions. And yet Jesus goes to the cross to take the punishment that was due to Barabbas, that was due to us in our place. Next Sunday, the crowd will shout, "Crucify him." But today, listen for your name because it is being called. You, just like Barabbas, you are being offered release from your punishment, release from the consequences of your sin, because Jesus, the very Lamb of God, has taken your sin upon himself when he allowed himself to be taken to the cross. When you come to the table this morning, listen for your name as you remember that night when Jesus was betrayed and that next morning when he was on trial. And listen for your name when the crowd shouts. My friends, the crowd shouldn't have shouted Jesus' name because there was no charges against him. They should have shouted our name, should have shouted his name instead of ours. And yet they shouted Barabbas. They shouted mine, they shouted yours, in order that Jesus might be led to the cross and crucified instead of us. Amen. As I've already mentioned, next Sunday we'll read the conclusion of Jesus' trial before Pilate, concluding with the crowd shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him."